are here at the 2017 Q's CEO Executive Team Network gathering of like-minded people. And I'm here with one of them, Mr. Peter Myers from DDJ Myers. How are you, Peter?
I'm doing fantastic. Fantastic. How are you, Mike?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking.
Pleasure.
Pleasure. Always great to chat with you.
And it's always an education for me, so thank you very much in advance.
Happy to.
Yeah, we got a cool topic online with you today, but I want to talk to you about how the conference is going.
Oh. You know what's so great about this conference is, right? You know, yeah, there you can hear them right there. They're enjoying themselves,
they love you.
Right?
Yes.
You know, CEOs and executives getting together, networking. What are you doing? What am I doing? How can we do this together? It's unlike any other industry, right?
No doubt.
There's territorialism is largely absent, right? It's just it's kind of special what we do here. I think it's exciting. This
sharing and caring.
Sharing and caring.
That's what we are. Come
on. Can we hold hands when we say that?
Yeah, how about a fist pump? There you go. All right. Hey, let's get to your topic of choice today.
Okay.
How to manage the credit union industry's emerging leader population. And we talked about this at length before the recording. Some really interesting stuff here. So you want to give a quick overview and then we'll do some takeaways?
Okay, quick overview.
Yeah.
All right, so here it is. So we did a recent poll with directors, credit union directors, mm-hmm. and we asked them, okay, when is your CEO going to retire? Let's mm-hmm. start to nail this down. And 47% of directors think their CEO is going to retire in the next 6 years. So about half,
okay.
right? So that makes sense, right? About half. There's not, to our knowledge, any real empirical research done. So this is starting to get some hard data,
okay,
right?
Cool.
Hard data about this. So what does that mean? CEOs of organizations, sizable organizations, are going to start moving into the sunset or to the next mm-hmm, opportunity. Because mm-hmm. what are we here to do? We're going to continue to grow, right? We're learners, right? So then we asked the directors, right? Because we're talking about CEO succession planning, right? And
mm-hmm.
building a pipeline of talent.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked them, do you have someone in your organization that absolutely is qualified, absolutely, mm-hmm. unequivocally to take over mm-hmm. when your CEO retires mm-hmm. in 3 to 6 years? 19% of them said absolutely.
That's an okay number.
It's not a great number.
Right? It's okay.
All right. 31% are saying mostly. So what is that? It's about half.
Right.
Right? Okay. That's good. Right? That's good. Now, what scares me is we ask them, okay, 21% are saying not sure, but we're crossing our fingers. This is not a strategy.
No, crossing your fingers is
okay.
not a strategy.
30% of them are saying no.
That's nope. a scary number.
We don't have someone. Mm-hmm. And where the real danger is and where we work inside of organizations and CEO succession plan, leadership development, is to help the executives understand that they may be in one of those nope categories.
Mm-hmm.
They may be, the board may be thinking about them like this,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to when an executive goes, oh yeah, I got this in the bag, right? That becomes dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the board says no, and they think they're walk on water, there's some disruption in the culture
totally.
That's going to happen,
totally.
The team is going to be impacted, so it's a little scary.
Is that a first impressions type of thing?
Say more.
Yeah.
Like the typecasting kind of
typecasting,
thing? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. When they initially see you in a position, that's how they'll always see you,
yes.
no matter what you do.
Yeah, so like... I'm the numbers guy, mm-hmm. if I'm the CFO,
mm-hmm.
or I'm the retail
mm-hmm.
person, or mm-hmm. I'm the marketing person. Yes, they get an audience with the board. Yes, they get exposure with the board.
Mm-hmm.
But if the board only sees them in that one domain,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to see their potential nor envision
mm-hmm.
what they could do
mm-hmm.
as the leader. So what does this mean for executives? They gotta share some of that.
Gotta get out there.
They gotta get out there. They gotta own a project.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta own a finance project.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have you help work on a marketing project.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this thing together.
Mm-hmm.
Because we do this thing together, man, that's pretty exciting,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
If you get the job, hey, you know what? I'll support you.
Right.
Can you help me get better? Real afterwards, mm-hmm. that's pretty exciting.
Right.
And you're also appealing to that person's expertise.
Yes.
You're like, so you're kind of, there's a little ego thing there. It's like, oh, wow, this person, he wants my advice. So,
yes,
yeah,
sir.
And I know a little bit about what I'm doing. So,
yeah
so there's a give and take there, definitely.
Right. And that's where they can go, well, let's get you going to the Q CEO Institute because
mm-hmm.
it was hugely beneficial to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's talk with this person. Let's
mm-hmm.
do this project.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'll support you. Now, when they get that, when the executives get that support from their CEO or whatever, it builds loyalty. I've had people say, oh, if I don't get this job, if they don't pick me, then I'm out of here. I'm blazing out of here, right? You know, and then they build this relationship with the other internal candidate mm-hmm. about support, mm-hmm. mutual commitment. Mm-hmm. And I've had those people, they stay afterwards because they get over their ego. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's always about ego, but mm-hmm. they go, I actually like working with Mike. Mike's a great guy.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, and I just want to be here with you, right? I like having fun with you. I mean,
yeah,
so
I get it. Yeah.
That's pretty special.
Well,
that's,
and you also had a couple of other stats here where people do want to, well, this one, this initial one here is, how long do you anticipate being in your current role? 58% said between 0 and 3 years. So, but the other one, like 0% said 10 plus years,
yes.
which is...
They don't want to. This is from an emerging leader population, right? So this is from about 100 people that are at the manager, VP, SVP level in organizations. And essentially what they're saying is, I'm only going to be in my role less than 3 years, right? Majority of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, what is surprising? So another question we ask them is, well, where
this
are you going to
cool.
go? Where are you going to go? If you're going to leave in 3 years, you're not going to be in the role in 3 years, where are you going to go? A lot of the research or the media allows us to believe, oh, millennials or that population, they don't have any loyalty, mm-hmm. right? They want to go somewhere else.
Just a
they
bunch of job hoppers.
Yeah, job hoppers, or go make $20 an hour as opposed to $18
right.
an hour.
Right.
79% of them want to stay in their organization and just keep expanding their role and their impact.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's...
That's an eye-opener.
That's, I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And I think that we as credit unions have to really capitalize on that loyalty. They're saying that not because of the money. I mean, we're credit unions, right? But they're saying that because they love what we do, right? So how do we take that talent and not let it leave our industry?
What do they do? I mean, how do you nurture that talent? How do you keep it there? I mean, I'm thinking offer them education programs, offer them benefit packet, all that type of stuff.
Is there what else?
Well, so one of the things that people talk about is, what's their human capital strategy, right?
Okay.
Like, how do we develop and retain and recruit the best possible
mm-hmm,
talent?
Mm-hmm.
What we've seen is that when they do a rigorous stretch leadership development, professional development program inside organizations, mm-hmm. they stay, right? So
yeah,
they invest, right? So we do an emerging leader program inside organizations, right? We take that VP level role,
mm-hmm.
right? And we develop strategic and critical thinking in mm-hmm. them so they can fill that succession pipeline for their
mm-hmm.
C-level
mm-hmm.
executives. They love that kind of hard, rigorous process. It builds loyalty to the organization.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, other things they can do, right? Retention programs, mm-hmm. talk with executive benefit specialists,
mm-hmm.
all those kinds of things. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like educate. The first few jobs I had, the employers were great. One of them was Scimitar, and they were great about providing, hey, we'll pay for education for this thing if you want to expand your knowledge in this area or whatever. And I was like, and that to me said, wow, they're invested in me.
Right.
And that enhanced my loyalty to them. So it was really neat.
Now, if they didn't advance your education, what would have happened?
I would have felt a bit resentful. So,
okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm trying to, I guess, up my ante as far as professional status
sure.
and knowledge and stuff like that. That, and then in turn, I can use that for the company that I'm working for.
Help
so,
them.
Help
they're
them.
Trying to do all
exactly.
of that.
Exactly.
Now, what gets really dangerous is, well, what if we don't invest in our talent?
Right.
Now, we've all heard the saying, right? Like, if you don't invest in your talent, then you're going to have, well, I'm getting the saying wrong, you're going to have subpar talent. So if we want to keep doing crazy, awesome, innovative things,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so I was reading a Wall Street Journal article the other day, right? Amazon is a disruptor company.
Mm-hmm.
They're disrupting the graduate school programs. They're going to the best MBA programs out there
mm-hmm.
and recruiting the MBAs, not upon graduation, but recruiting them day before class. Like, what does that even mean?
Wow.
I don't even understand that.
Yeah.
But they're building some kind of constituency mm-hmm. in this emerging leader population
mm-hmm.
that are going out there, getting their professional education
mm-hmm.
in a way, right? In the credit union industry, we are not that proactive. I mean, that's blazing territory, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But what if we became more proactive,
mm-hmm.
more talent development oriented,
mm-hmm.
rigorously? I think that's pretty exciting to think about.
I'm also thinking about the sports industry. I mean, a lot of top schools in the nation are recruiting, are watching kids, and when they're in middle school, obviously in high school, and then the pros are watching them as well in high school. You look at baseball. I mean, I had one of my best friends in high school was recruited by one of the Major League Baseball teams when he was a junior in high school. Are you kidding me?
It's amazing. So, I mean, what?
Very proactive.
Yeah, and then what does it happen with those students, right? They get zero. They get focused on that school. They build a loyalty to that school. They're committed to that school. They wear the brand. Mm-hmm. It's their alma mater. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
so. It's the same thing Amazon is doing with these guys.
Yeah, they're potentially, right? I mean, that's the impact.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So what do credit unions need to do? What do they need to do, kind of like be like Amazon? What steps do they need to be and to be proactive in this area?
It's a good question. We believe that it has to start at the top. If the CEOs are not developing themselves, now don't get me wrong, going to Q CEO Institute, right? Mm-hmm. Going to these conferences, mm-hmm. absolutely. But also, what are they doing to develop their individual leadership? Mm-hmm. If they don't have the mechanism to understand, I need to keep growing in this kind of direction, mm-hmm. I'm a liability over here and I need to leverage Mike's expertise over here.
Yeah.
If they can't articulate that, then they're going to have some unintended consequences.
Mm-hmm.
If they understand that tone will disseminate through the organization.
Mm-hmm.
The CEO says, hey, I'm working with my coach Mike about this mm-hmm. thing. What are you working with your coach about? That builds a level of intimacy, right? So that's like step one, right? Step two, you institutionalize that process. Get it formalized inside of a rigorous, ongoing, mm-hmm. not a certificate that I put on the wall. Don't get me wrong, it's great. But ongoing leadership development forever.
And go out there and start recruiting those MBA students before they graduate.
And what would happen? What would happen if credit unions had some kind of critical mass, right? And they went to MBA programs and they said, come work for a credit union.
Why not?
Why not?
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Right? I mean, we're talking about disruption here, mm-hmm. right? I mean, let's disrupt the human capital or reality strategies that mm-hmm. Strategies that we're realizing. Let's disrupt those.
Exactly.
Why not?
Good message to end on. Peter,
yeah.
Always an education, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.